Today's scripture reading, it comes from Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. And today's sermon title is, Do Not Despise the Day of Small Things. Again, scripture reading, it comes from Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. And today's sermon title is, Do Not Despise the Day of Small Things. Would you rise with me and join me in reading? This is God's holy and inerrant word, starting in verse 6. Then he said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Thanks be to God. At this time, I'm going to just announce our guest speaker, Reverend Charles. He's on furlough. He's a missionary that we support, and he's here with his family.
Can we bow together and ask for the Lord's blessing upon this time? And then we'll get into his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I stand now before your precious people, whom you deeply, perfectly love. And God, our hearts, our hungry hearts this morning need more of you, more of your hope, more of your joy, more of your strength, more of your love. And we know that you give these things to us. You nourish our hearts through your word in the power of your spirit. So I ask now that the Holy Spirit will be powerfully at work in each and every person's heart here. Shepherd us, O Lord, in the way that you perfectly know each of us needs. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Sure. Okay. Thanks. Well, I want to preach this morning on a passage that has become crucial for my family to hang our faith on as we pursue our calling. And that's the book of Zechariah chapter 4. And I pray that God will use this word to encourage you, to strengthen you in all the ways that he is calling you to serve him wherever he has placed you. Now, perhaps for many of us, I'm assuming that the pages of Zechariah in our Bibles are kind of stuck together, or in this day where most of us are using devices, get no screen time. So let me give us the context for this book to understand what's going on here. Now, in the year 538 BC, many Israelites returned from their exile in Babylon back to Jerusalem to rebuild their ruined city, including the temple. Under the leadership of the governor Zerubbabel, the foundation for this new temple that they were rebuilding was laid just 2 years after they had returned. So there was this initial excitement and anticipation that Jerusalem and Israel herself would be quickly restored. But it became for them a long period of discouragement. After all, they were still under foreign rule in their homeland, now under the Persian Empire, and powerful opposition prevented the completion of this temple for nearly 20 years. there was little of any evidence of the physical, political, and most of all, spiritual restoration of Israel that the prophets of old had promised. Now, I want you to imagine being an Israelite living in that time. Put yourself in their shoes. What would you be feeling? You can imagine how easy it was for the people, especially the elder generation, who remembered the Jerusalem of old, who remembered the glory of the old temple, to feel as though God were absent from them. And as verse 10 tells us, to despise this time as the day of small things. It's in this depressing time, nearly 20 years after they had returned from their exile, that the prophet Zechariah receives many hope-filled visions from God to proclaim to this people to renew their hope, to renew their faithfulness to him. And I pray that this word will have this effect upon us this morning, to renew our hope, to renew our faithfulness to him. Now, this vision in chapter 4 that we're going to look at today specifically addresses the governor, Zerubbabel. And we're just going to look at this excerpt that was read for us. I'm going to read it one more time. Verse 6 to verse 10. It says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now, how wonderfully hope-giving this word is. Promising that the great mountain of opposition and obstacles standing in the way of the rebuilding of this temple, of the rebuilding of their city, shall all be flattened into a plain. Zerubbabel, the one who began the reconstruction of this temple many years ago, he will be the one to put in the final capstone on that day of completion, with all the people gathered shouting, grace, grace to it. And how shall this be accomplished? By military might? By regaining political power? By rapid development in temple building technology? No. Verse 6. Found on many a church banner, found on many a Christian merch, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit. Now, how will the spirit accomplish this? Not despite, not after, but through many days of small things where it seems like very little, if anything, is happening. And for those who have despised all these days, all these years, when it seemed like nothing was happening, they will one day surely be humbled and astonished. All their discouragement will turn into rejoicing. All their mourning into dancing. You know, this passage is a powerful reminder of how God often works. You see, we Christians worship a big God with a big mission that will one day reach this entire big world. Matthew 24:14 promises, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, that is, all people groups, and then the end will come. And yet, for all of his bigness, our big God has an astounding love for the small in the way that he accomplishes his big global mission. Small things, small people in the eyes of the world, perhaps in your own self-esteeming eyes, small places, small moments, small days, months, years. Biblical timeline is small decades, centuries, where it feels like very little, if nothing is happening. That's how the Spirit often works. You know, Jesus himself said as much in one of his parables, Mark 4:31 and 32, the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. When sown on the ground, it's the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. You see, the appearance and growth of God's kingdom is often like a tiny, unassuming, weak mustard seed. So don't be fooled. Now, we live in a day where everything needs to be bigger, stronger, faster. You know, for those of you who have an Amazon Prime membership, I don't know if you're like me, but when I see an item and it takes two days to ship, which is really quick still, you know, in all the places in the world, we get two-day shipping, and I get impatient. I get frustrated. I'm like, are you serious? I need this later on today. Everything needs to be bigger, stronger, faster. And sadly, this mentality has seeped too much into the church. You see, many Christians believe, you know, you are experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit only if it's in this epic, immediate, explosive way. Now, of course, the Spirit does work in such instantly grand ways at times. But my point this morning is that the Spirit also, if not more often, works in small, quiet, slow, mundane, seemingly weak ways. And make no mistake, no matter how slow, no matter how small, no matter how weak the Spirit seems to be working, his mustard seed operation will quietly, slowly but surely overcome every opposition, every obstacle standing in his way, and the kingdom of God will be the last one standing. Now I want you to picture an acorn that falls into the ground. And then it gets covered over, say, by a big concrete sidewalk. Which one wins in the contest of nature? No contest. That fragile little acorn slowly but surely will bust through that concrete sidewalk, growing into a mighty, leaving behind a nice, busted Philly sidewalk where baby strollers have absolutely no use. Experienced that frustration many times in our time back here. Now you can see why our family, who are attempting to do frontier missions work, still in early days, cling unto Zechariah 4 every day. Because everything for us, literally everything, feels like the day of small things. We're grinding through difficult language study. We're trying to develop relationships with our still limited language. Many days feeling like we're making very little, if any, progress. We're in a time when the political and religious environment in our field country is more sensitive than in previous years. Our team had a scare earlier this year when one of our team leaders was brought in by the authorities for some hours of intense questioning and brought a lot of fear to our team. Many workers serving in our country have had to leave in recent years, and many consider the golden era of missions work in our country to now be in the past. So this work that we're trying to do amongst ethnic minority people groups, many living in the rural areas where foreigners typically cannot live, faces many, many obstacles, much opposition. We are trying to climb Mount Everest, and we've just begun this initial ascent. And I tell you, honestly, for my family, there have been many fearful, tearful days when we doubt whether we're doing the right thing as a family. We have that doubt more than we care to admit. Whether we have what it takes to do this. Whether all this effort and sacrifice that we're making will amount to anything. Whether continuing to try to ascend up Everest is pointless. And perhaps, you know, we may not see much visible fruit in our time overseas. We may just be the ones to be there to pray for God's harvest to come. We may be there just to drop some seeds for people to come after us to cultivate and grow. You know, I have this saying in my head that I think about here and there from the profound Chinese philosopher Bruce Lee. Yes, that Bruce Lee. And he said one time, a goal is not always meant to be reached. It often serves simply as something to aim at. And I have that feeling quite a bit, that we have this vision, we have this goal. Are we going to even come anywhere near reaching this? But it's at least something that we're striving toward. So with that, would you pray for us? Most of all, would you pray for your missionaries? That we all would not despise the countless days of small things, the however small part we play, but that we would trust and stay faithful to our God, who will slowly but surely, long after we're done, flatten mighty Everest into a plain and accomplish his global mission. Now with that, I want to direct this word to each of you. How can you bring this truth, how can you bring this passage to bear upon your life? And that's my heart this morning. And so with that, I want to leave you quickly with three to-dos as you leave here today. Three things to do going to the Lord. So first, exercise patient faith in the God of small things. Now, in what way Do you feel like you're living in the day of small things? And you're despising this time in your life, like those Israelites in that time. Perhaps it's with your vocation, your church, your ministry that you're involved in, your relationships, people you're trying to reach out to, your marriage, your parenting. Parenting feels like countless days of small things, right? Or your own persistent private struggles or sins. And these countless days of feeling like very little, if anything, is happening, has you left feeling impatient, frustrated, discouraged, hopeless, bitter? Perhaps you're beyond all those stages and you're now just at a place of apathy and cynicism because you feel like very little, nothing is happening, even that God seems absent from you. And by the way, oh, how Satan loves to keep you in this condition with his lies. The New Living Translation translates Zechariah 4:10 as an exhortation, as a command. It says, do not despise the day of small things. So you need to fight the good fight of faith. You know, I saw just this summer, your church did a sermon series on faith, going through the chapter on faith in the Bible, Hebrews 11. I'm sure you learned through all those sermons that faith doesn't just passively happen in your heart. You know, it's your depressed, discouraged thoughts and feelings that just passively happen in the midst of the storms and difficulties and adversities of life. And so would you exercise, lift up your eyes, lift up the muscles of your heart up to your God and his mustard seed ways. And in so doing, defy your own thoughts, defy your own feelings, defy your own ways. That's something you need to do, exercise. Have patient trust in your God. Do not despise. Do not even just tolerate, but embrace God's love for the small, for the quiet, slow, unassuming process of his kingdom. You know, no matter how small a day seems to you, no matter how small a season of life seems to you, it is always, hear me, it is always a day of God advancing his kingdom in and through your life. As surely as the mustard seed plant is always growing, no matter what you see or don't see, today, every day, is always a day of God advancing his kingdom in and through your life. So trust him for it. Secondly, if God's purpose will be accomplished, not by our might, not by our power, but by the Spirit of God, then how practically do you tap into the Spirit's power, not yours? It's through prayer. But praying for what? Asking specifically for the Holy Spirit. How often in your praying, in your prayer life, do you ask him for the Holy Spirit? Luke 11:13. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Do you ask your Father for the Spirit to enable you to grow in patient faith in the day of small things? Do you ask for the Spirit to give you the strength, the joy, the motivation, the endurance to press on, not to throw in the towel when adversity hits, when the initial excitement of something wears off and becomes a slow, tedious day. And by the way, with that, yes, ask God for the Spirit to do big, instant things. Absolutely. There's someone in your life that needs healing. Pray for that to happen as immediately as possible, as only God can do. But you well know that that's not often God's timetable. That's not often God's way. So when he doesn't answer that prayer for the big, for the immediate, don't just give up praying. Don't just ditch your God. Pray for the Spirit, for his might, for his power, for what you need then. Faith and faithfulness in the many small things. So trust, pray, and then thirdly, what? Praying doesn't mean doing nothing else, you know. You pray for the Holy Spirit and then you act in the Spirit's might. To do what? To do the next small thing. That's it. The next small thing. God does not despise that small thing. In fact, he is pleased with that next small step that you take. You know, the Israelites, they didn't just sit around waiting for God, waiting for the Holy Spirit to complete the rebuilding of the temple. No, they got to work. They rolled up their sleeves. They put the next plumb line in place. They put in the next stone, stone after stone. Step forward, step back, step forward. Sure, much adversity, setbacks here and there, but they kept on going and going. Thousands of days of small thing after small thing until the temple was finally complete. And by the way, if you keep going on in redemptive history, you see how God works continually in this way, because through many then centuries of small things, in an era where there were no prophets coming to Israel, and that was known as the silent period, felt that God was silent. Through many centuries of small things, one day, through a small family, Joseph and Mary, in a small place, the little town of Bethlehem, was born into the world the true temple, Jesus Christ, that this physical temple only pointed to. And the true temple, Jesus, brought everlasting salvation, brought the very unmediated presence and glory of God into the midst of previously hopeless sinners like you and me. God has always worked through countless days of small things. Now, are you in your life on a journey pursuing a calling that just so often seems too big, too overwhelming? Well, would you simplify that journey and just focus on doing the next small, faithful step on that road? That's all that God asks of you. For those of you who feel stuck in your walk with God, perhaps you've felt that way for a long time now, you just feel stuck in your relationship with the Lord, can I invite you, do something small. Just take, say, 15 quiet, sincere minutes with the Lord in his word. I think you can do that, even later today. You know, we often have this all or nothing mentality where we're just waiting for the next big opportunity, the next big time, the next available time when we could try to do this epic, reviving, quiet time that never comes, right? It never seems to come in the busyness of life, and so it never happens. Just do the next small thing and see it how it moves you back in the right direction toward God. If you're struggling right now, privately, with a sin struggle, and you feel very alone in that, do the next thing. Reach out. Reach out and share that struggle with a trusted brother and sister in Christ, someone who can help bring that struggle with you, for you, into Jesus's liberating, sin-eradicating light, so you don't stay alone in that. Now, with your church, don't expect all this clarity, all this change to happen all at once. Pray for, contribute toward the next God-pleasing step, one stone at a time, until God slowly but surely builds your church back up. And if you're like our family, preparing, working towards reaching an unreached people group, we do that next faithful, tedious language lesson that we forget much of what we're trying to put into our minds. Trusting that God takes that small thing after small thing and multiplies all those small things. And then you see his mustard seed kingdom gloriously blossom and grow. Now I want to close sharing this incredible story that I take to heart as I pursue my calling. And so the missionary couple from many years ago, David and Svea Flood, they left their native Sweden in 1921 to go proclaim the gospel in the Belgian Congo, in the heart of Africa. And their missionary efforts were the epitome of the day of small things and ended in seemingly heartbreaking tragedy. The local chief of the remote mountain village that they were trying to reach was so afraid of alienating their tribal local gods that he refused this family to live amongst them in their community. So he said, if you're going to be here, you need to live in this place half a mile away from us and have no contact with us. The only contact this family had was one boy from this village who would come a couple times a week down to them to sell them some eggs and chickens for food. So that was the only opportunity for gospel witness that they had. A boy from the village coming to them a couple times a week. And so Svea Flood, she took advantage of that opportunity. That's the only one she had to befriend this boy and tell this boy about Jesus every time he came to their house. Now, sadly, Svea Flood contracted malaria when she was pregnant with the couple's daughter, and she passed away 17 days after giving birth. And when that happened, David, the husband, the father, was convinced that their work would never bear fruit. He was angry with God, angry with his missionary service, so angry that he walked down off that mountain, gave his baby daughter to another missionary family, and went back home to his native Sweden, and he abandoned his faith. Now, if it wasn't tragic from there, the missionary couple who was given this baby named Aina was not too long after that stricken with a disease, and they died within days of each other. So then Aina was given to American missionaries who brought her here to this country at the age of 3 to be raised here, and they renamed her Aggie. Now, decades later, as an adult, Aggie stumbled one day upon this Swedish magazine, and she didn't know how to read, she didn't know how to speak Swedish, but she saw a photo in that magazine that she could hardly contain her surprise. And it was a photo of a grave with a grave marker with the name Svea Flood on it. And she, as soon as she saw that photo, she said, "That's my mother. Now, I don't know her, I don't know her story, but that has to be my birth mother. Who else would have that name?" So she went as soon as she could to find someone who could translate this article for her, a college professor. He read that article and said, "This article is about a story of a missionary family from long ago. And a baby was born. And then the mother died. And in that one little African boy was led to Jesus. And after the missionaries had all left, that boy, all grown up, finally persuaded the chief of that village to build a school. And he gradually won many of those children to Christ. And then those children led their parents to Christ. And then eventually the chief of that village came to Jesus. So in the end, almost 600 believers came into the kingdom in that village, all because of the life sacrifice of David and Svea Flood. And that's not the end of the story. Aggie, after she heard this testimony about her parents, she went and she found her father in Sweden, and she told him about the fruit of his labor. He didn't know about it. And she had the opportunity before he passed away to bring him back to the Lord. And then years later after that, Aggie and her family went to this Christian conference in England. And at that conference, there was the leader of the National Church of Congo. And by that point, the Church of Congo was at about 110,000 believers. And he shared at this conference. And after the session ended, Aggie went up to this leader and said, "Hey, I don't know, have you heard of my parents, David and Svea Flood, who served in your country many years ago?" And that leader said, "Yes, madam. Svea Flood led me to Christ. I was the boy who brought food to your parents before you were born. And to this day, your mother's grave and her memory are honored by all of us." And so Aggie went to that little village in Africa because she wanted to see for herself the community that had been eternally rescued through her parents' faithful witness. And of course, they welcomed her with open arms. They took her to her mother's grave where they knelt down and thanked the Lord for her faithfulness. And they had a worship service to celebrate. And one of the verses that was shared was Psalm 126:5 that says, "Those who sow in tears." Is that you? That you've been sowing, serving the Lord many days in tears? Well, the promise is you shall reap with shouts of joy. Church, do not despise the day of small things in your life. Because as you trust your God and stay faithful, you will surely reap with shouts of joy, and he will turn all your discouragements into rejoicing. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. As we end our time today, Let me just give us a very brief moment of quietness. And would you speak to your God now? Asking him to increase your faith, to increase your hope, to increase your strength, your joy, your faithfulness, as you grind through the day of small things in your life. Ask him for his Holy Spirit to supply you with his resources, his might, to press on. Let's go to the Lord, hungry for him, his word, his power. It's what we need most today as we move forward. Let's pray for just a bit, and I'll close for us. Almighty God, indeed, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Please, O Lord, help us to lift up our eyes and to embrace your love for the small and your mustard seed ways, that we could live these days in faith, in hope, in contentment, in joy, and love and faithfulness to you. Help our unbelief, Lord. We give ourselves to you. Thank you, Lord, for always being at work every small day in and through our lives. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen. Let's all rise.